Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. In an eight-month series about a year and a half ago, WUWM looked closely at the issues surrounding mass incarceration of African-American men in Milwaukee. The problem affects the community at large, but probably no more so than the people who live in one Milwaukee zip code.
Milwaukee 53206, A Community Serves Time, is a powerful new documentary by a man with no previous connection to the city. Keith McWhorter's film received its world premiere this week at the Oriental Theater, and he joins us in the studio now. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Your film, Milwaukee 53206, premiered a couple of days ago here in Milwaukee, and it was so powerful. I was so happy to be able to be a part of the talk back and the excitement of it. It filled the Oriental Theater. Let's back up a little bit before you actually even brought a camera into Milwaukee. What was it about these stories that you wanted to do a film about? I mean, did you start knowing what you wanted to do?
Well, no. I was told that, Transform Pictures brought me in and they said, we want to do a film about mass incarceration. And they gave me some of their ideas and said, what do you feel about the subject matter? And I gave them my feelings, and we knew it was an area we can move together with to tell this story. And so, it was discovered that 53206 is the most incarcerated zip code in America. And so we said, well, let's start there. Let's go there and find the stories that tell this story about mass incarceration.
And we're talking about mass incarceration of black men in America.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I mean, of people in general, but we focus on black men just because 53206 is a predominantly black community.
Right. So you came here. What did you find? I mean, how did you decide how to approach this subject?
It was daunting, to tell you the truth. Like, when someone says we want to do the original thought was make a half hour film about mass incarceration, which is this enormous issue that has all sorts of tentacles on it, right? And so I felt overwhelmed, quite honestly. And I didn't sleep some nights trying to figure out, how am I going to enter this story? And so I just started coming to Milwaukee and talking to people. And I felt, I couldn't do it in New York. I couldn't make phone calls or things. So I had to come physically here and just walk around, meet people. I started in the nonprofit sectors and just started talking and listening. And I realized that the angle I want to take into this story is through families. And that story has not been told about what it's like for the families to live with incarceration.
So the three people that became the focus of the film, you met simply by coming here and asking questions?
Yeah. I mean, I spoke with – I actually came to you guys. I came here and I talked to some of your reporters, and you guys had did a story on Beverly Walker, and I heard that story before coming in. I was fascinated by the fact that, her husband, who's been incarcerated for 20 years at that time, sat in his cell and clipped coupons and sent the coupons home to his family so they could save money, because he felt that he had to contribute to the household somehow, some way. And I thought that was a very interesting story. So when I came here and they're like, oh yeah, we have her contact information. I was like, oh, that's wonderful. I'd love to have a conversation with her. And so we met and we talked. And when we talked, Baron, her husband, called from Fox Lake Prison, and I had to have a conversation with him as well. And it seemed like there's something that we could work together on. They had a story, and they are a pair, and they have a beautiful family. And it seemed like we could explore that. And so we explored it. I mean, anytime you start working with the stories, there's a dating process. You have to get to know each other, trust each other, see if this will work. They need to know if you will work with them and vice versa. So that dating process with the family was successful. And so we moved forward.
Was there any fear on your part as a filmmaker that it's kind of the anthropological fear, the minute you enter the village, you change the village? Were you worried that you weren't going to get a true representation of who these people were, that it was going to be gussied up for the camera?
That's what I look for during the dating process, really, to see, are these people for real or is it a show? And you know right away what's going on, having done it for a number of years now. With the stories that we followed, you know, there's a sincerity to each of them. And you just know what that is when you see it.
Were you surprised by the level of enthusiasm and just energy at the showing at the Oriental? I mean, it was pretty amazing, the energy that was flowing in that room.
Never would have guessed. Never would have imagined. And it was so – I felt so honored to be able to tell these stories and then share them back with the community and have that sort of response.
What do you think is going to happen? I realize, you know, you've in some ways you've done your job. You made the film. You put it out there. Mm-hmm. And now it's up to people to respond. But what do you hope they do, having seen this film? What do you hope changes?
A lot. There's a couple things going on. People aren't aware of the issue, as they should be. Not just in 53206, but across the nation. There's a lot of communities, that a lot of people who don't have a who aren't familiar with what incarceration is and why it's a problem in our country and the numbers that exist. So I hope this film awakens those people and they get to see how American people are living with incarceration by, you know, the millions. And this is not a unique story. It's a quiet story. But it's a story that needs to have attention brought to it. So to get people talking about it is the first thing, right? Because people just need to know. If people know, they can start getting more engaged. They can start amplifying the ideas, what this is, or just have like an engaged conversation. And then they, you know, that's where change will eventually happen once people start knowing. So that's a process as I see it. Beyond that, you know, I think if this film can galvanize people to organize and to lobby and to educate and to do all those things, that's needed as well. And, you know, this film has a social impact campaign attached to it that will help people have those conversations across the country by using this film as a catalyst, but also additional materials. So I think I would be very happy when this film starts being released on a wide scale and seeing the work that it can generate.
So the conversation isn't over as far as you're concerned, for
no.
You personally.
No, I don't think for any of us. The conversation has just begun. I mean, change happens so slowly, and people are now awakening to this issue. So this conversation is going to go on for many years.
One of the comments during the talk back, I think it was from the district attorney, it might have been from the public defender, but one of them said that these conversations are difficult, but we must have them because they're difficult.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he's absolutely right. It's going to get hairy. There's a lot of passion, as there should be, on all sorts of angles of this story. It's not a clean story. It's a very complicated story that, like I said, has multiple tentacles to it. So, you know, it's even hard to talk about as just mass incarceration is, like, no one can really see that. No one really knows what that is. It's just a term. But once you start breaking it down and seeing, like, here's an area that we can fix right now. You know, in Wisconsin, there's 3,000 people who are eligible for parole but are stuck, you know, in the system and can't get out. Yeah, we have mass incarceration, but this is something we can fix, you know, right now. We can do this right now. And that will eliminate at least that small chunk of the big piece of mass incarceration. So, you know, those conversations are needed, and they need to be passionate, vigorous conversations so we can find solutions and we can make things happen. There's not one answer to this, all these things. There are multiple ways we can approach.
Did you ever expect when you set out to be a filmmaker that you were going to spearhead this kind of social change?
No, I didn't. No. You know, my ambitions have always been to be a narrative director, you know, working with scripted material. But I found my way into doing nonfiction content because I just wanted to keep making films. And, you know, oftentimes scripted materials, when I was coming up as a young filmmaker, to do a short film was really expensive. It isn't anymore, you know, but
you can do it on your iPhone.
You can do it on your iPhone now. That's the beauty of the digital, you know, technology. But back when I was, you know, coming up out of film school, you know, film was expensive, and I was a poor film student. So in order to keep working, I just started picking up any camera I found and just started telling documentary stories. And I've found myself in the social justice world, and I love it, and it's definitely in my DNA. But it wasn't my first love, you know. I found my way into it, and now it's become a first love. And because there's such a need to tell these stories, and having being a filmmaker and a storyteller, and seeing and having the consciousness to see what's happening and not tell those stories, you know, there's no way I could not do it. There's no way I could not do it. Doing this story, Milwaukee 53206, it started for me many years ago, in 2008, when I went to a correctional facility in New Jersey. And I had never been in a correctional facility before in my life, but I went there to research a documentary I was doing in New Jersey. And there was an event at the correctional facility, and the community leaders came in, and we all gathered into the cafeteria, and they spoke to the men at that facility. And I was just hanging out in the general population, and, you know, I looked around, and all I saw was a sea of black faces, you know, black men who were the same age as me, you know, plus or minus a few years, and who looked just like me, my cousins, my brothers, you know. And that just tore me up. Like, it really sent me to a place where I didn't know what to do with that emotion, because so much of my professional career as a, you know, I work in commercials, I work in, I do TV and documentary stuff. So much of my professional career, I walk into a room and I'm the only black male almost 98% of the time. And there's some black females there, sprinkled, but I'm the only black male most of the time. And so to walk into that room and see that I was a majority in that room, I was sick. I was sick. I was physically sick. And I left the facility not knowing what to do about how I was feeling, but knowing that there was an injustice. And so that sat with me for years, because I didn't know have an avenue to get that out. And so when I said it was a no-brainer, when Transform Pictures sat me down, it was a no-brainer.
Is that piece that made you sick, do you feel like that's been eased a little bit?
No. Well, it's still there. It's still there. I feel like it's something that you just kind of have to exercise. And, no, you know, just seeing that plenty of people have, you know the numbers, you know the statistics. Black men are incarcerated more than any other, you know, group in the country. You know this. You know the numbers, 1 in 3, you know, black men are incarcerated. You know these numbers intellectually, but to see those firsthand is a different experience, different altogether. By no means is that emotion satisfied. If anything, it's even more intensified, because there's just so much to do still. And this film is just a little, you know, notch in that. You know, this film, quite honestly, to tell a full story of a mass incarceration, I would need, you know, a 15-part series at the minimum to go into the depths of the issues here. What can we do? How can we change this? Well, we have to figure it out. We have to take this thing piece by piece apart and attack it, or, you know, talk about it, or whatever we need to do piece by piece, so that, you know, little by little, this thing will change.
So here's your first little piece.
This is a little piece, yeah.
So I'm assuming that there will be more pieces.
We shall see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that you will come back when there are more pieces. Mm-hmm. And Keith McWhorter, I want to thank you so much for taking time after a very emotional week here in Milwaukee for talking with us. I so appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Brooklyn-based filmmaker Keith McWhorter conceived and directed the film Milwaukee 53206, A Community Serves Time. It tells the story of the social and family costs of mass incarceration of black men in Milwaukee.
The world premiere took place at the Oriental Theater this past Tuesday evening and featured a talkback hosted by my colleague across the table from me, featuring McWhorter, the three subjects of the film, and various city and state officials.
McWhorter and Transform Films Incorporated are working to show the film at other venues around town and around the country. You can find out more at WUWM.com.
Coming up next, the Midwest Renewable Energy Association's annual energy fair kicks off today in Wisconsin. We'll chat with three participants when Lake Effect returns on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.